Today, Deshaun Quinn cannot make the meeting. He's one of the members. Kathy Hogan tried real hard. She couldn't make it. That's due to airplane flights. And so we have Cynthia Delsius Johnson joining us for Kathy. So thank you for doing that. Item. And it's got changed to discussion only because it became an item for multiple, apparently, areas. But what's going to happen today is we're going to talk about the 6300 building and anything else you want to leading up to for context for next time.
All right. So yes, we want to pivot away from the original info memo.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to the council members for the continued support that you guys always give us. The Minkler shops, we got a security gate for that. And while we're looking at that, we decided, that would be a good option looking for 6300 building. So what happened with 6300 building is over the past year, there's been several members of the unsheltered community being behind drug paraphernalia. There's been staff here with the unsheltered community downstairs, and we also had a recent break-in in one of our newer vehicles. There's $5,000 resulting, $5,000 damage. So we looked at getting some options to make it the most secure for staff, our number one asset. And the thing that we looked at, what we came upon was a security fence, which was $51,000. We're also looking at, does illumination, will illumination work? Will security cameras work? What are our other options? So the time being that this was said, we engaged with some other departments, and we decided let's take a step back, hit the pause button, and take more of a holistic approach to our other sites, looking at parks maintenance, parks golf shop, and look at a broader horizon, and then come back to the council with more options from a more comprehensive approach. Citywide, so we're not just piecemealing the, here's 6300 building. 2 weeks later, it's we had this happen. It's just knee-jerk reaction. We want to get away from that, so we want to take a holistic approach, and we want to engage with council on some options that looking at like tiers. Do we want security cameras with recordings monitored? Do we want illumination? Do we want to go with what degree do we want to have? So what we want to do is we want to put the force a matrix of options and then come back and present that to council so that you can help partner with us and lead us into the direction we should be going for our facilities. So with that, it's one of the conversation.
Okay, and for the sake of discussion, I just want to, if we could go off the memo, where were you headed with this building anyway? Because it feels like you kind of knew what you wanted to do here.
Yeah.
And those options would have applied here too, so I'm just curious how you got to kind of where you were today.
Yeah, so with this building kind of backing up, is last year we looked at meters of cost. The costs were a little lower than this. I think they raised around $5,000 from last year. We decided last year not to move forward with what our plans were. Over the course of the year, we've kind of been monitoring. There's been a lot of reports of the unsheltered downstairs. I would say at least more than a dozen times the staff have identified this. So we looked at those options, illumination, what we did, we changed out all the light bulbs, made sure that everything was up and working. We trimmed trees outside, made sure that we had more illumination on the actual parking lot itself. We're going to look at camera options for this one. We're looking at security fence with camera as well. We decided to, when we saw what the cost was now for this, we decided that let's just go with the security fencing and do away with the cameras for the time being. So,
I really appreciate the pivot to look at like a holistic approach, not just one-offing, but really looking at all of the areas and that this like city property or just all of the city properties to figure out how could we make our, buildings more secure, more safe. And so I appreciate that. That makes me happy that we're pivoting to really look at how do we take a holistic approach? Cause I imagine if you're building more, like if there's another place that could use a fence, then maybe it would be cheaper, or like we'd get better quotes if we have, you know, a larger, more, you know, more places that we're doing this at as a city. So I do like that approach. You know, I wonder, one of the things I'd be interested in knowing is like in the future, because now we're talking about like what would I be looking at as a council member in the future for a memo like this that includes a more holistic approach is, you know, how often is this happening? Like, and is, and have things gotten worse than they were before? Why do we need it now, but we didn't need it last year? So like an answer to that, maybe that's something that the police department can address, or even just public works in general. Like, you know, now we're seeing more paraphernalia and, you know, people from the unsheltered community coming in, whereas last year we didn't. And that's something that I think council members would be really interested in knowing about, especially given, I feel like 2 weeks ago, we had Dave Pookie come in and talk about just like things happening on his property more recently. So,
yeah, so if I may, Councilmember, so generally last 3 years since COVID, the graffiti and this kind of activity is on up and up. So, very recently, we're looking at the Tukwila Pond, the restrooms there are at a point where we cannot save them anymore, so we have to demo them. So similar issues are happening around the city. And so under this building, we had at least three cars that had been broken into, their catalytic converters stolen. And there used to be a Prius assigned to me, the director, and was at least broken into twice. So so generally, overall, the city, the activities are going up. And so we've been, what Cody and, you know, the discussion here is, we've been addressing them as they're coming to us. Like at TIV, the whole shelter that we're trying to remove. And so the Tukwila Pond Park, the restrooms we're trying to demo. And at TCC, trying to install cameras for the security there. So instead of doing this like hodgepodge piecemeal approach, can we take a comprehensive way of dealing with this? And but keep in mind that each site is different. Like the site down here, the garage is pretty much all enclosed except two areas. So it made perfect sense for it to be fenced off with a security gate. Even the fence and the security gate have, like Cody mentioned, different levels of security. You can have a card reader that's fixed and you can read the card. Employees are given cards and the gate opens when the card is read. Versus just a fence and a lock and a chain. You just unlock it, open it, and that's a different level of, it's safer that way. And then there's another way of doing it, which is kind of like your home garage. You have a opener in your car, you press that. Instead of going, you won't have that security card reader, but you have that opener in your car. So this is what the matrix that we want to develop is. We want to develop for each site, for each problem we have, that we're not just going to the Cadillac plan. We're just applying one by one, cheaper to the, you know, to the most expensive. But the short answer to your question is, last 3 years, we have seen escalated incidents happening throughout our businesses.
I'll just add that I don't know if this is necessary for the future development of this memo and just the ask that'll come to council, because I imagine it'll be bigger if you are, you know, including more. But just even, I think the argument for this is like that it costs the city more to have to deal with these in a piecemeal way. Like if we have buildings that are being destroyed, like that's how much is that? How much are we losing if we're having cars that are being broken into and like destroyed? How much is that costing us as a city? And the other thing that the last thing that I'll say, and I want to hear what Councilmember Kreller, what her questions are. I think one of the things questions that will get asked are, you know, why are you spending this much for like to keep people out of like people who are unsheltered, and you're not spending the money to like get them housing? You know, that's just the other side of the argument. I'm not saying you guys have to like address that. It's just what's in the back of my mind is like, okay, we're allocating a budget of whatever, 50, 100,000, but how come we're not putting that same investment into housing, like addressing the causes? But that's like bigger, you know, like this is we're not going to solve homelessness. Mm-hmm. So if there's any kind of insider conversation that could be had during these conversations with maybe like the police department, human services, I think that would be good. But I like the approach that you guys are taking at this point.
So I'm comfortable with the approach too. I just kind of wanted to, are the sites that you just highlighted the other sites that you're going to assess before the next meeting, or are there other ones that you have a thought you should be worrying about?
So the other two sites that have become more problematic is Foster Golf Links. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of break-ins into the actual building itself, mm-hmm. into the pro shop, and a lot of stolen items out of that. And
you can see the front doors are compromised,
yeah.
and the bolster.
Yeah, so I think the Foster Golf Links, not only the build, there's spaces where cars are, but also buildings themselves. I don't think we've had a break-in into either of these buildings, but it's cars that have been broken into. So as Mr. Ponaganti said, is that each one is going to have its own. What are the needs? What have been the problems over time? Have we seen an increase? And I'd say Foster Golf Links is probably one that has risen that's been more common in the last couple of years. And it's anecdotal, but it would be good to your point, Councilmember, that let's get the data. And the second one is one that more recently came to my attention is the Parks Maintenance Shop. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if that's because we moved out of Long, and so we don't have both buildings activated and people moving in, so now we only have one smaller structure at the end of the golf course. That seems more recent. It didn't used to be a problem, but now it seems to be. And they actually do have fences, and they do have, but they don't have a. I don't think they have a full gate that locks. I have to go confirm that. But those are, and as any security or anything, it's not going to be 100%. So we need to know what's going to be the return on investment. Those are the two other areas. The other safety concerns are any place that we have city staff or that we interact with the public. And so I would put TCC. The Justice Center was built for security of our staff. But still, you know, that could be a question about security of people who park in the parking lot and then walk over could be a question. But those are the other areas I would say is Foster Golf Links and the parks maintenance area.
And even though if fire authority could buy a contract, the firehouses are good for 51 and 52, but
yeah.
Is 54 very good? Then what's 53 got going?
Yeah, you're right. That would be a good thing to, and we can work with the fire authority.
Yeah.
That's a great idea, is to make sure that there, because there have been issues actually in some of our newer buildings. I think Fire Station 51 had some recent issues, even that new building.
And then our old 51, and then the old firehouse that's down in Allentown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are all, I don't want to run up the bill, but at the same time, if we get the fire authority involved, we might actually get some kind of a discount for volume purchase with one contractor who comes up with a lot of solutions.
And in the value of the assessment, to add to what David was saying, is we also want to look at the parks restaurants. We encounter a lot of damage to those. So looking at July 5th, the Foster Park restroom was arsoned.
Yeah, wow. Was it arson? Because I heard it might be cigarettes.
Like, you know what? It looked like somebody may have started a fire down below.
Fire
lower?
Yeah.
Below.
Yeah.
And then it went up.
I'm not surprised, but yeah.
So okay. It's kind of hard to, I'm not a fireman, I'm not a fire you know, but
okay.
But it did burn.
It was on the 5th.
So I know we've sort of gone there already because I hardly ever use the one in Foster. But sort of like rest stops. It's pretty much down to metal toilets, metal sinks, almost no fancy features.
Yeah.
Nothing you can unscrew.
Yeah.
And you just leave it to the brick and you put a metal roof on it and that's that. So it's kind of like a swimming pool or something that will burn. And then the hard part is, do you supply toilet paper and things like that? It'd be nice. Like, there have been times where I've gone in there and it wasn't. It might have been gone or somebody might have stolen it. Mm-hmm. There's a whole nother wild security issue because people will, at one point during COVID, people were stocking up on TP. So some people got creative. So when you go there, it might be smart to model off what the state's doing on its rest. I'd say in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's best time to say, well, what do you guys do? What don't you do? It's really hard. Because it would like kids to be able to go to the bathroom without having anything.
Correct.
You know, it's a barrier to wanting to go to the bathroom. And then hopefully it doesn't turn into some people standing there. Because if you get down to Woodland Park Zoo, down by the bocce ball courts, that's turned into a thing where it's pretty much taken over by adults who are doing all kinds of things, drugs, human trafficking, all kinds of things. And so nobody uses those documents. It's literally taken it over and you don't even feel comfortable walking in the room. So hopefully we don't get that bad. I spoke with a corporation in the area, and they've had massive service calls up, and they don't even use their parking garage doors anymore, and they have you park out back when you go to visit, and that's a huge dramatic change from what they used to do, because when they would go in, people would slip in behind them and vandalize their vehicles and things like that. So to kind of, you know, you don't want to put the hurt on the unhoused, but at the same time, it does ebb and flow with the encampment. So I'm glad we're trying to address the one encampment. This is far and away from where you're at, but I know there's concerns that when you go down so north on TID, just before you can get on the
I-99.
Yeah, 599. It is 99 that takes you back out to I-5.
Yep.
That little quadrant there, that corner.
Five corners.
Is that what it is? It's yeah. I want to get on I-5 somehow, and I just happen to be, like, in the Eusebius. So I go downhill, which is north, and I take that on-ramp.
Mm-hmm.
To the right there, all the forested area. I know from Tieback, we've actually, in the early days, unknowingly cleared out encampments before and didn't know hardly what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And then as things got worse and worse and the needles appeared and stuff, we were like, oh, yeah, we're not doing it. But whenever they have campers there, their step goes straight up. So just to be aware, it's getting very complicated right now.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty close to the shop area, right? Just on the other side.
Yeah.
So this is, I don't know if anything's happened there, but that's one area that was mentioned. They're putting up fences all around their compound now because they're not happy with what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown at the fleet shop, I was absolutely flabbergasted. So they're in Seattle, and I'm with King County, and they had a flooring company actually just put row after row after row of those big divider blocks you put on highways.
Mm-hmm.
They put them close enough you can't fit a car or an RV in between them. They just line the whole property with it. But before that was there, you know, this is where sheriffs go to get their cars repaired. They were throwing blankets on top of the razor wire, going over the top, going in, stealing guns, taking property, stealing gasoline, taking catalytic converters. And because it didn't belong to King County, they couldn't do anything outright out of there. Working with those neighboring corporations through the blocks, that's making it easier. And they just won't let anything stay inside the vehicles when they're there for repairs. So you're up against some very people.
Yeah.
And so I'll be interested in the dialogue that we have when you come back with more. I'll do a little more research. But I would just encourage you to benchmark with other cities and county and there's everybody's running into it. So it's to what level they have to go,
mm-hmm.
and what works and what doesn't work. So
yeah.
A lot gets better if they buy some security. I just found out that Shag up there, I thought they had two security cars and they had security guys.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding, but I may not have it right, because it's all word of mouth,
mm-hmm.
is that they're leasing that space, but they aren't actually security guards for the company.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
I don't know.
I never seen them patrolling, so that would make sense to me. If it's supposedly they're doing something, then it'd be interesting to know that, because there's a lot of eyes that are watching what they do and don't do.
Mm-hmm.
And the second someone said, oh, well, they're just kind of there, but they're not part of that patrol, I kind of went, oh, well, then they could get coffee and do work and lease that space and go, like, to other buildings that hire themselves. And maybe that's a clever idea on Shag's part to have the patrol cars there. But it doesn't take long before they figure out nothing's going on. I think it was multiple people who told me, different sources, residents, people that watch, et cetera. And I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting.
So,
I don't know what's true or fiction. That's only word of mouth.
I don't know.
I'm still in disbelief. I would think that they would have an office and they would be putting security up for them. So I'm not looking forward to the cost, but I totally understand. I mean, one catalytic converter is $5,000 repair. Mm-hmm. You got insurance, but it still costs.
Right.
Our premiums go up.
Yeah.
See, his dad or Harvey sounds like he's got a hot rod everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
He's kind of
got my motorcycle.
Yeah, it sounds funny. Let's see. I don't have any more questions. I can see the idea of where you're heading on this one, and that would have been amenable to me. So, you know, I think it's prioritize. And, you know, I hate to throw risk management in your direction, but I would use it based on risk management. What has the most prevalent activity and the greatest value? And I'm with you to start with, where are the employees? But they need to be safe.
Yeah. Yeah. So the timing on this, council members, is that we try to come back in 2 weeks if possible, but it could be 4 weeks before we get all the information.
Between 2 and 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That is our schedule for today, unless you have a miscellaneous.
Yeah.
This wasn't a packed week today.
Yeah.
It's kind of coming out of the malaise of a holiday break. Forgive that. On the ongoing meetings. All right. Thanks very much. Yeah. I'm going to stop the recording. Meeting is adjourned.